Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Saragon. As again, is the first news story of today, and this may be one of the more impactful stories that we're going to discuss over the next couple of weeks, and that is that there is apparently some sort of compromise agreement over the national health insurance by the DA and the ANC. The details, however, are very murky, and the sources are not amazing, but we'll go through what we do know. So this was exclusive reporting by News 24. They had a long interview with the Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation Minister, Maropene Ramakgopa, not the electricity minister. And she talked about what she said were the details of this proposal, which had seen a compromise between the DA, who are very opposed to NHI, particularly its complete destruction of medical aids is one of the big concerns they had, and the ANC, particularly Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, who has been very aggressive, saying that NHI needs to be fully implemented as the law was passed. There can be no amendments, and that this is necessary to transform South Africa's health sector. So, according to Minister Ramakgopa, she said, quote, so there was this disagreement on NHI. Now we're saying, okay, let us agree that NHI will continue apart from how the fund is going to work, and it will be in that ministerial advisory committee where there will be talk on how the fund is going to work and whether there will be subsidies and all those kind of things. So this was a big issue. She said that Motsoaledi and Steenhuisen had agreed that medical aid schemes won't be collapsed and that this ministerial advisory council she talks about will work out more of the details of the implementation further down the line. She said, the Ministerial Advisory Committee will be the one to actually finalize how everything is going to be done. So everyone agreed for the medium-term development plan to continue on the understanding that the Ministerial Advisory Committee at the Cabinet Lekgotla will be the one to continue with implementation. So we had to negotiate now to say, look, what is it you're not happy with? Then the DA showed me this part where they say everything will be collapsed in relation to medical aid schemes. I said, okay, I'll remove this. Then we'll have to agree that this matter will be dealt with in the Ministerial Advisory Committee. I informed Motsoaledi, who said yes. Now, what's interesting about this story is when I read it, neither Aaron Motsoaledi, the health minister, nor John Steenhuisen, the leader of the DA, had responded with their own comments on the story, despite being asked for it by the reporters, which is kind of interesting. Because it would be much better to hear these from the people who supposedly have made the agreement rather than someone who was just involved. The minister went on to say, he agreed with all his team. They came to me, all of them, they agreed. We no longer have an indicator that we're going to collapse the medical aid. They felt comfortable with that. The News 24 people asked her whether the NHI disagreement impasse had been resolved. She said that it was. There was an agreement on the act on its own, but the disagreement was where the distribution of the health budget would be done, because then it meant private sector participation was cut out. Now we have to iron out is only the private participation to which we agree in the Ministerial Advisors Council. We will have private sector ourselves and all other role players in the health system to discuss how to implement the NHI. The NHI is agreed upon, but the implementation part of it, just the part of private sector participation, is what will be ironed out. We can't cut the private sector out. We have to find a way of collaborating with them. She also said that they would address problems with NHI by, quote, bringing capital on board and making sure that their disagreements don't affect the markets and therefore take investment away. Okay. So, I mean, Sara, you know, I'm no health policy super expert. I do know a little bit. The decision not to, or saying that they're not going to completely cut out the private sector, seems like at least a step in the right direction. But I must say, reading this article, it was quite difficult for me to properly understand and follow exactly what the terms of this agreement are. And there's also an awful lot of, we will figure it out at a later stage. We'll figure out this funding problem at the later stage. It'll all be in this ministerial advisory committee. So a lot of this just feels like kicking the can down the road. What do you make of this?
Look, I think it makes me very nervous, because Motsoaledi hates the private sector healthcare. It also hates medical aids. He hates medical aids, and I think he wants to see them gone. And the wishy-washy way in which it's been described suggests that what she has in mind, I don't know what anybody else has in mind because they haven't said it, is that medical aids can be retained for the purposes of administering the funds that people who belong to medical aids would access in order to get NHI medical care. In other words, the medical care won't be different. There won't be private sector and public sector. There'll be public sector NHI, and we'll let medical aids sort of help administer the use of funding from the NHI through private medical aids. It doesn't begin to deal with what's wrong with the NHI Act at all. It doesn't deal with the fact that this is not really a health system. It's a insurance, and it's insurance that's going to be run by the government. I'm afraid to say I don't trust it at all, and I think it's very important for the DA to make clear what it is that she is supposedly talking about, because it seems very thin, and it doesn't go to the root. Medical aids are not the only issue, and they certainly shouldn't be singular subject of a red line for the DA.
No, I think that's definitely right, that there's that the devil is really on the details in this kind of stuff. And if the DA's only sort of compromise, it had these three big kind of red lines of going into government. It had the Miller Bill, it had the Expropriation Act, and it had the NHI. It seemed to be under the impression that it would get some sort of major compromise on all three of those when it formed the Government of National Unity. On Bella Bill, well, the DA controls the portfolio, gets to set the regulations, but the bill's being implemented in full. So it doesn't really look like they got a huge concession there, especially if the minister gets changed. On the Expropriation Bill, the DA says they're still opposed to it and they're going to fight it in the courts, but they also had the slightly softer tone a few days ago on this issue. And while the Minister of Public Works, Dean McPherson, says he's not going to implement any expropriation or compensation, the DA decided that it was not going to leave the GNU over that issue. So NHI is kind of the make or break. In my personal opinion, NHI is the most damaging of those three policies to the country, because I think it will drive the middle class to leave the country in large numbers. But they really need a big win here, I think, for this to be at all politically sustainable for them. They're really going to have been rolled by the ANC if they don't get a big win here. And this kind of very vague, wishy-washy stuff. Part of the problem here is Motsoaledi has committed so hard to defending this piece of legislation that any compromise whatsoever is going to cause him to lose face, which obviously he doesn't want to do, because he's put so much of his kind of reputation on the line here. I mean, he described the fight over NHI as a war when he was speaking at Davos on a panel about universal healthcare. So, Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, I was just going to say, I think the problem is that I can understand the DA's reluctance to actually leave the GNU, but I think for public consumption, we need a little more robustness in the DA's responses to these issues, because one almost gets the impression that, you know, Steenhuisen and Ramaphosa talk and I don't know what they have for tea, but it all ends up coming out from the ANC as some sort of deal being reached, and frankly, they're not. And if the NHI as a whole, and not just medical aids, isn't the DA's red line, I think the DA's future is in jeopardy.
No, definitely. It's a difficult tightrope they have to walk. And I think the stakes are very high for them and also for the ANC, to be honest. So I think it's going to be very interesting to watch and see what comes out of the office of Motsoaledi and Steenhuisen's office going forward, to see what the more concrete terms of this might be, to get a better idea of how the politics have actually shaken out, because this is a very interesting interview, but I don't think it tells us that much about the details here about how exactly this thing is going to work and whether some of the worst damage has been avoided. I think it's still too early to say that. Okay. Let's move on to our next story. We've talked a lot about the US turning its gaze on South Africa, which is a change from how it normally is. But as I'm sure anyone who's following American politics at all knows, Donald Trump's doing a lot of things right now. And so it's very possible that him and Musk are not going to have that much time to dedicate towards their policy towards South Africa. South Africa is quite frankly not a major concern for the US, even if it does get up Trump's nose and Musk's nose. But it's not just them who are criticizing the actions of the South African government with relation to foreign policy. Senator Ted Cruz, who's a Republican from Texas, is the chairperson of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Subcommittee on Africa. So he's an important person within the American legislative system. He's also one of the more influential senators in the U.S., having a big public profile, having run for president a couple of times. He tweeted the following, I think this was yesterday or in the early hours of this morning. The South African government seems to be going out of their way to alienate the United States and our allies. Their timeline to expel our Taiwanese allies from Pretoria is deeply troubling, undermines the national security interests of America and our allies, and will deepen tensions between the U.S. and South Africa. I intend to use my position as the chairman of the Africa Subcommittee on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to investigate these and other concerning decisions by South Africa. And then he links to a story from Reuters, which was headlined, Taiwan says South Africa gives March deadline to move office from Pretoria. Now, this was an issue we actually discussed last year on the show because it had been bubbling away for a while already. And that's that the South African government, for no particularly clear, obvious reason, it suggested that there was some under-the-table, backroom door pressure by the Chinese government, but even that's not entirely clear, has ordered that the Taiwanese de facto embassy has to be moved out of Pretoria to keep it in line with the One China policy. Now, this is kind of strange because South Africa already says that Taiwan doesn't have an embassy, even if it de facto does, and that we recognize China as the one China and not Taiwan. This is a common state of affairs for many countries around the world who have relations with both countries. Even the United States technically regards the People's Republic of China as the legitimate China and Taiwan as a subsidiary of China, and yet it still maintains diplomatic relations with Taiwan. So it doesn't seem like we're getting anything for kicking the Taiwanese out of Pretoria. Mm-hmm. And yet we're sort of, it's entirely symbolic. And this has not gone unnoticed by the Americans. I think, Sara, what's clear to me is that the anti-South Africa lobby within the United States, which has been, I think, slowly growing over the past couple of years, has really crystallized and has turned its gaze very firmly on South Africa. And the reason that's a big problem is that even when this presidential administration is over, it's very possible that a bipartisan hostility to South Africa will remain in the U.S. What do you make of this?
Well, I think we're sending off some very bad messages. I think our diplomacy is really sort of plumbing the depths, shall we say. And I suspect part of the ongoing anger, first of all, was our application to the ICJ against Israel. I mean, that was a biggie. For you know, being a very big ally of America's, but the problem is, of course, is you've had an administration, even more than one administration, which have kind of let the Chinese gain influence in the Pacific and the Indian Oceans. I mean, most recently, Britain gave back the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, who are cozying up to the Chinese. So that whole, I suppose you would call it almost a triangle of sea defense, is going China's way. And I suspect that seeing South Africa sort of providing the potential corner that is Southern Africa, the South, is probably part of what is just too much for the Americans. And they are not prepared to see that just go willy-nilly to Chinese influence, particularly given the potential of conflict between the US and China over Taiwan. So I think that it's a fairly robust approach because it, certainly from America's perspective, it is about preserving, saving, looking after American interests. And this as I say, making, as you say, making something out of really nothing is probably seen as sort of rather crass and insulting. And I don't think the Americans, in the mood they're in, the Trump administration are going to tolerate it.
I think the ANC has pursued this foreign policy of attacking the West, particularly America, in the most atrocious terms. They've accused them of everything from faking the HIV/AIDS pandemic to being imperialist warmongers, being frightened that America would invade South Africa. I know there were ANC MPs who were concerned about that at some stage. Our ambassador to Venezuela declaring that we would defend Venezuela from an American invasion with our army. just constantly accusing domestic opponents of being trained by the CIA. I think the ANC has accused the DA of that as well, not just people within their own party. Just constant total hostility towards the United States, while at the same time having this official stance of pretending as though, oh, you know, we're keen on developing ties and relations with the United States. And the Americans have mostly been content to ignore it up till now, or to take the ANC at its official word. But I think that time has passed, and so policy needs to change, or else the Americans may get only more aggressive with us. And being some years our third biggest, but at the moment our second biggest trading partner, annoying the US is not a great idea.
It's not a great idea, and it's I don't think the Trump administration will be that sanguine about a goer, for example, because a goer does come with strings attached, and they are strings of essentially that relate to support as an ally to America. And South Africa's lack of importance, which is clearly not appreciated by the ANC in government, is embarrassing, because we just don't have that sort of clout, and we shouldn't have been in a go in the first place in terms of the criteria. So they may look at it, but as I've said in other discussions, I suspect this administration will probably look at targeting the ANC rather than the country or its people.
And as a country with mass unemployment and a huge shortage in investment, we can't afford to turn away the world's largest economy from our shores and just hope that somehow we'll be able to fix our economic problems without good trade relations with them. Okay, so thank you very much, everyone, for watching. We hope you found the show interesting. Please do like the video if you like it. Please do subscribe to us if you enjoy our content. And we will see you all tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a great one. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.